Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for we intend to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time studying on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. What does the Bible say about mechanical instruments of music and worship unto God? You know, let it first be understood that I'm not objecting to people playing mechanical instruments. Certainly it's a good form of entertainment. We're specifically talking about the use of mechanical instruments of music in worship to God. In order for our worship to be acceptable to God, it must be according to His divine authority. In John 4, we read, beginning with verse 23, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." You know, this statement, true worshippers, it makes us to realize that there can be false worship. In fact, Jesus makes mention of vain worship in Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9, when He said, "For in vain they do worship Me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And in Colossians 3, it's in verse 17 that we read that, "Whatever we do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." What does the Bible say about mechanical instruments of music and worship unto God? Well, what the Bible says, as far as we see in the New Testament, are 9 statements concerning music. And in Matthew 26, in verse 30, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." In Acts 16, verse 25, "At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God." In Romans 15, verse 9, "I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 55, "I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26, "When you come together, every one of you hath a psalm." In Ephesians 5 and verse 19, "Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord." Colossians 3 and verse 16, "Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12, "In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." And James chapter 5, verse 13, "Is any merry, let him sing psalms." What I've just done is looked at the totality of the verses in the New Testament that has to do with our worship, or has to do with the kind of music that we see disciples and the early church being engaged in. And without a single exception, as you've heard me read these verses, it is singing. So the question, where did the use of mechanical instruments of music in worship to God originate? Well, in 670 A.D., Pope Vitalian I introduced it into Roman Catholic Church, but removed it in order to preserve unity. It caused a great disturbance. It was in 775, and what we're talking about here are periods of time that's 500 to 600 years after Jesus walked this earth and after the apostles lived upon this earth. But in 775 A.D., the mechanical instrument was reintroduced, and it became to be accepted, but still with some opposition. But it never was used in the Greek Orthodox Church. In fact, let's look at some quotes. In the Americana Encyclopedia, Volume 12, page 688, it says, Pope Vitalian is related to have introduced organs into some of the churches of Southern Europe about 670 A.D., but the only trustworthy account is that of one sent as a present by the Greek Emperor Constantine Canopius to Pepin, King of the Franks, in 775. In another encyclopedia, this one is the Chaff Herzog Encyclopedia of Religion. It's on Volume 2, page 1702, that we read this statement. In the Greek church, the organ never came into use, but after the 8th century, it became common in the Latin church, not, however, without opposition from the side of the monks, the Reformed church discarded. And though the Church of Basile very early introduced it, it was in other places admitted only sparingly and after long hesitation. Now, as we move into the Protestant realm of the religious world, we see that mechanical instruments of music, believe it or not, was opposed. John Calvin, who is one of the Protestant reformers and founder of the Presbyterian Church, in his commentary on the 23rd Psalm, makes this statement. Musical instruments in celebrating the praises of God would be no more suitable than the burning of incense, the lighting up of lamps, and the restoration of the other shadows of the law. So, we see, Calvin's conclusion would mean that there would be about as much authority for the use of burnt offerings and sacrifices of blood and animals or some other practice under the law of Moses as it would be for the use of mechanical instruments in the worship of Christians. We also see another Protestant leader, John Wesley. He too was a Protestant reformer, and he's the founder of the Methodist Church. And when he was asked about the use of mechanical instruments of music in worship, here was his reply that is recorded in Clark's commentary, volume 4, page 686. I have no opposition to the organ in our chapel, provided it is neither seen nor heard. Another quote from Adam Clark, who too was a Methodist, and one of the more noted Bible commentators, here's what he says in his Clark's commentary, again, volume 4, page 686. I am an old man and a minister, and I declare that I never knew them, and he's referring to mechanical instruments, I never knew them producive of any good in the worship of God. And I have reason to believe that they are very productive of much evil. Music is a science I esteem and admire, but instruments of music in the house of God I abominate and abhor. This is the abuse of music, and I here register my protest against all such corruption in the worship of the infinite Spirit, who requires his followers to worship him in spirit and in truth. Another very influential religious leader was Charles Spurgeon. He was a Baptist minister, and for 20 years he preached in the Metropolitan Baptist Tabernacle in London, England, to 10,000 people every Sunday. And never were mechanical instruments used in his services. And when asked why that he didn't use the organ in his service, he first quoted 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15 that says, "I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with the understanding also, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." And then he would make this statement, "I would as soon to pray to God with machinery as to sing to God with machinery." And then finally, Andrew Fuller, who is one of a highly respected Bible commentator, he wrote the following declaration concerning the use of mechanical music in worship. The New Testament speaks of praising God by singing, but further it says not. Paul speaks more than once in his epistles to the Corinthians of instruments of music, but not as being used in religion. He described them as necessary to war, not to worship, and speaks of them in a language of degradation as things without life, given sound. So we see then in all of this that this is where the use of mechanical instruments of music originated. It originated with man. So what that means is, to you and I, is that there is no authority for the use of mechanical instruments of music in worship unto God. Jesus, we know from Hebrews 12 and verse 2, is the author and the finisher of our faith. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. And so we establish authority by either having a direct command or an approved apostolic example of the apostles or the early church engaged in something, or a necessary conclusion to be drawn from a command or a example that is approved of the apostles. And so if we apply these rules, then all verses that we mentioned a moment ago that refer to sing, well, those are the verses that gives us the command and the example. Let us understand that there are two kinds of music, vocal and mechanical. And when the scripture says sing, that's vocal. Thus, vocal is specified, and therefore, that's what's authorized. So we see then what the Bible says. But that, of course, does not prevent people from raising objections to what the Bible says. Somebody says, if you can have music in the home, why can't you have it in the church? Well, friends, we must understand there's a distinction between what I can do in my home and what can be done in the Lord's church. Remember, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 22, "What? Do you not have houses to eat and to drink in, or do you despise the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." Clearly a distinction between what we can do individually in our homes as opposed to what we do collectively when we come together as the church in order to worship God. Let us not go beyond that which is written. Friends, we see your time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbertville.org. where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.